The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello, welcome back to the William Hill World Cup Daily Podcast. We're down to the business end, really, of the group stages now. The final games taking place in each of the groups, and we'll find out who qualifies for the next round. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line now, live from Brazil, Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Are you?
I thought we'd lost you for a second then.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? There might be a little bit of delay on the line, I guess.
Yeah, well, you are all the way in Brazil.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I feel like I'm a million miles from home, to be fair. We're in Brasilia at the minute, which is the capital city. It's a really weird place, I've got to tell you. A strange place, Brasilia.
Is it? In what way?
Well, it was only built in 1960. I think it's one of the newest capital cities in the world. So what happened was, that I think Salvador, the original capital city of Brazil, then Rio became the capital, which everyone will think Rio is the capital of Brazil. But they wanted to, if you look at a map of Brazil, most of the cities and towns are on the coast. They've got thousands of kilometres of beach around Brazil. So they wanted to get more people into the middle of Brazil, so they built this city, Brasilia. But it's like anyone who's read 1984, the book, it's like that. It's like some sort of utopian vision of futuristic Brazil. So you've got this cathedral, which is it's so amazing to look at. I mean, at night, it's lit up in these kind of yellow and orange colours. It's kind of like a crown, like this cathedral that's shaped like that. And then next to it, there's like the National Museum, which is this like dome with a walkway around it. It kind of looks like a planet what's the thing that goes around a planet, whatever that's called.
Rings.
I can't remember what it's called now. Yeah, one of those. Yeah, like a ring around it. And every government building is just like amazing. It looks like so futuristic. So then everywhere the people live, they're in these blocks. So you've got like 400. 402, 404, and so on and so on. Every one of them's just got a name, and it's just a number. And everyone looks exactly the same. So you drive to 412, same shops, same bar, same, you know, whatever. Go to 410, same shops, same bar. It's weird. It's like, it's so strange. It's a really strange place, but it's the strangest place we've been to in Brazil. It's just like it's been overly designed. All the roads are kind of like in these, you know, crisscrosses, these shapes, and you kind of, they're all in like this weird one-way system. Yeah, just a strange place, really strange.
sounds interesting, yes. what's the atmosphere like over there, Lee? I mean, have you been around the crowds during a match time?
Yeah, some of them. It's strange because, like, here in Brasilia, you wouldn't even think the World Cup's on. Seriously, you wouldn't know the World Cup. If I go outside anywhere, you wouldn't even think there's anything going on. But then we get near the stadium, it'll be absolutely crazy later on. Obviously, Brazil are playing here. We're here. Brazil play Cameroon later on today. We're going to talk about the game. And pretty much they have like, it's not an official national holiday, but everyone gets the day off. So by the time match time comes around, it's going to be crazy here. And I think, you know, when you get outside the stadium, it's just unbelievable. But like we were in Recife, the last place we went to, and it didn't really seem like the World Cup was on until you got close. I mean, I went to the fan park in Recife, and even that was fairly quiet. Recife is like a coastal town up north, probably the most dangerous place we've been. As soon as we got there, everyone advised us not to go out after dark because, you know, you would definitely get mugged. It's not like you might get mugged, you will get mugged. So I braved going to the fan park with the video camera, but that was during the day. Felt fairly safe, it was okay, but really, really hot. So that was probably one of the less spectacular atmospheres. Then in Porto Alegre, when Australia played Holland, the stadium was about a kilometre from our hotel, and the fan park was a kilometre in the other direction. And that was fantastic. I mean, the Dutch and Aussie fans were brilliant. Australians, I think the second most supported visiting team at the World Cup. I think they issued 30,000 visas, the Aussies. And do you know how long it took them to, from Australia to Brazil? It's a 32-hour journey. It's unbelievable. And they've come in the droves. So that was brilliant. And, you know, Dutch fans are always great, aren't they? They always look really colourful. So, yeah, some places it seems to have really taken hold more than others. But if you can get to the stadium, every stadium looks magnificent. It's just that some stadiums are about an hour away. And I'm obviously with Robbie. And if Robbie's not doing the game live, he's maybe doing it off tube, or he's doing some TV or radio work, where he's just doing a commentary or a radio show. We don't always go to the stadium if it's like an hour away. But I mean, when you're in it, when the atmosphere's around you, it's magnificent. It's brilliant. It's great atmosphere, great carnival. Everyone's really friendly. Brilliant.
Good. What's the weather like over there, Lee? Because obviously a lot's been made about the humidity and the temperature. Is it that noticeable either?
It depends again. I mean, Recife was sweltering. I went to the fan park, and so the fan park's obviously got a massive screen at one end. It's kind of like a rectangular shaped public area. So on the sides of it, there were like some bars and food places, and in the middle, even the locals, it was just empty. Everyone stood in the shade. I don't know what the temperature was, but that was like, if you stood in the sun for about 15 minutes, you could feel yourself burning. And that's where Costa Rica played Italy. If anyone who watched that game, I mean, I actually texted into InPlay Radio, so I was watching the game on the big screen. Costa Rica got a goal up, and I texted into InPlay Radio saying, the Italians will tire in this. 1 o'clock kickoff in that kind of heat was just unbearable. Costa Ricans obviously fairly used to it, you know, coming from Central America. And so it proved. I mean, Darren Fletcher, who's here with us, the BBC commentator, he said he's never seen a football team look so tired as Italy did. So I think that's something to bear in mind with your bets. If you've got a game in Recife or maybe Fortaleza or even Natal at 1 p.m. kickoff, interestingly enough, where Italy play Uruguay in Natal, 1 p.m. kickoff, I don't think Italy will cope with that very well. I mean, ironically, I think Manaus has probably hasn't been as bad as people thought it would. The humidity has not been so bad. Then you go down south, Porto Alegre. I mean, you were looking at, it was like probably an early summer's day in England, like 16 degrees, really pleasant. But at night time, everyone had, you know, jeans and jumpers on. The locals were in winter coats. It was like really cold. Here in Brasilia yesterday, probably about the same temperature it is for you, 23 degrees. It was quite comfortable to be out. Today it's really overcast and probably about 16. So it's not absolutely sweltering everywhere. But if you get the nice weather, it's all right, man. You can get shorts and T-shirts, flip-flops. The worst of it was in Natal. When we first went to Natal, it rained more than I've ever seen it rain anywhere. Yeah. It was just insane. I posted a couple of videos, and I was walking around in flip-flops, and it was up to your ankles. It was that. It was like flooding, crazy.
Yeah, I did see a couple of your videos about that. It was biblical rain, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was biblical.
One question to ask you before we move on to today's games, because we probably should talk about those. Have you met any England fans over there, and what's the atmosphere like for them?
This is a weird thing. Not really, no. Obviously, we've seen a few, but I mean, we haven't been following England.
No.
Obviously, Robbie's been doing other games. That's a weird thing, really. And I kind of thought that pretty much everywhere we've gone, I've seen an Aussie fan, and pretty much everywhere I've gone, I've seen a USA fan, because they're the two most supported foreign teams. I think Argentina must be up there, but I think because they've been issued so many visas that they've been able to quantify how many US and Aussie fans there are. I haven't seen that many England fans, really. I haven't spoken to that many, even in Rio, when we first got to Rio. We saw a few. I mean, I've interviewed a few, but no, not really. I mean, it's funny because when I was in Recife, and I've been desperate to see some England fans just so I could record them and have a chat with them, there's a guy there in an England top. So I went up to him and said, "Hi, mate, can I have a chat?" And he's just Brazilian, didn't speak a word of English, which I thought was quite ironic, a Brazilian wearing an England top when we'd just been knocked out of the World Cup by Costa Rica. But no, not many at all. Hoping that eventually, we're going back to Rio on Tuesday, so I'm hoping that we'll see quite a few more there. But they've been kind of conspicuous by their absence, really. I think they've already gone to Manaus. They've travelled to where the games are being played, obviously, but they haven't really toured, you know, the country as such. Probably just as well I haven't seen them, because it's been a disastrous World Cup, hasn't it, for England?
Yes. Well, you say that. It's been a failure, but I don't think it's a complete disaster. I think there is encouragement to be taken from some of the performances, but we won't get bogged down by that, Lee, because I will sound like a broken record. Let's talk about today's games. crucial games in both groups with regards to who's going to, well, in Group B, it's not necessarily who's going to go through, it's who's going to top the group. So we'll move on to Holland, Chile second in this preview. We'll save your thoughts for that. But we'll start with the dead rubber, I suppose, Australia against Spain. And we'll start with Robbie's thoughts. We'll get Robbie Savage's thoughts throughout the day. And let's see who he likes in Australia against Spain.
Australia, Spain, big blow for Australia, no Tim Cahill, wouldn't have gone in the last game, but the way that they played against the Dutch, you've got to think, can they nick a draw? Without Tim Cahill, very difficult task. Lecky's missed chance, poor goalkeeping. I just think the Spanish might just edge in a tight encounter.
So there you go, Robbie's siding with Spain in a pretty tight encounter. The betting looks like this, 13-2 for Australia, 100-30 for the draw and 4-9 for Spain. If Robbie expects it to be tightly, would you be taking 4-9 about Spain?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I'd look at the outrights. I agree with what Robbie's saying, obviously. You know, I think you have to go with Spain. Australia, as good as they've been, as plucky as they've been, they still have only won, like, you know, two World Cup matches in however many years it's been they've been playing in the World Cup. I don't expect them to win the game, Australia, but I think they will give a really good account of themselves. We're hearing here that you know, that probably the likes of Casillas will be rested. We might see Mata, Cazorla, and De Gea come into the Spain team. If we think England have had a bad tournament, I mean, Spain's just off the scale, isn't it? I mean, who would have predicted it? They need to get a win, obviously, to finish off the World Cup. But I just think if you compare the kind of the endeavour and the enthusiasm of these two teams, you'd have to give it to Australia. But Klopp surely will tell in the end. It's just a bit short, isn't it, to be trusting a team who look bereft of confidence, all of us. And the big problem for Australia is that Tim Cahill's out, and, you know, he's obviously been their talisman. That wonderful goal that he scored, he's obviously led from the front, and almost like a snarling, aggressive performance every time he's taken to the pitch, which England was sadly lacking that kind of spirit, I think. I would side with Spain. But I look at the team news, I was listening to the Australian coach, and I think he's going to play a few. It sounds like he might go for like an all A-League team, which would be interesting. You know, some of the younger players coming in. Now, if Adam Taggart plays, which is rumoured here that he will play up front, if he plays, I wouldn't mind having a bet on him to score a goal. 4-1 to score any time. He scored loads of goals at the end of the A-League and a really, really good end to the season. And I just think he might be the guy who could get on the end of it. I've been impressed with Matthew Lecky. Of course, he famously tried to chest the ball in, didn't he? And then when Australia were 2-1 up on Holland, and if it had headed that or kicked it or kneed it or put it in with his backside or something, then that Holland game might have been very different. So Matthew Lecky's 4-1 as well. But coming in off the right-hand side, I think they'll attack Spain. I think they'll play the same sort of way they've played all the way through. But I think they'll just get found out. I just don't think they've got the quality. So I'd side with Spain as well. And I suppose Robbie's going for a narrow Spain win. You look at maybe a 2-1, aren't you, there? 8-1. It's not a bad price for, you know, a narrow Spain win. But my bet would be Adam Taggart, 4-1, to score any time in the match.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned 2-1 there, so both teams to score and Spain to win would also come into play. That's 15-8. Yeah. And if you fancy it to be really tight in the first half and then Spain just to come out on top in the end, it's 100-30 for it to be a draw at half-time and Spain to go on to win the match. Would that appeal?
Yes, yeah, that sounds all right. I mean, you know, I don't think Australia are that great defensively, as we've seen, but I just think they keep going all the time. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Spain will be quite cautious. I think they've been unusually attacking, unusually open so far in this World Cup. So I think they'll be a little bit more cautious against Australia because they don't want to look the last. If they lose against Australia, I mean, that would be like, it'd be catastrophic, I think, for Spain. So I think that's not a bad shout at all. I can see that happening. But Australia will go for it. I don't think Australia will sit back. I think they'll try and attack down that right-hand side as much as they possibly can. I just think that class will tell in the end. So yeah, any bet that involves Spain eventually winning, even if it's like, you know, late on, then I think that's worth a look.
Okay. Moving on to the other game in Group B. Both of them kick off at 5 p.m. of course. Holland take on Chile, and top spot is up for grabs in this. Holland are 13-8. The draw 9-4, and Chile 17-10. Firstly, let's hear who Robbie likes.
Holland, Chile. The winner of this group will avoid Brazil. Massive game. Holland without Van Persie. Been so impressive so far in the first game, not so in against Australia. I think Chile beat the surprise package. Alexis Sanchez, Madel, you know, Vidal. I'm going to go without Van Persie. I'm going to go Chile to sneak it in a 2-1 win. Chile being great. So Chile to avoid Brazil and win the group.
So Robbie siding with Chile to win 2-1 here, Lee. Chile have been impressive so far. And I suppose a few people before the tournament said they could be dark horses. How impressed have you been with the Chileans?
Yeah, really good, haven't they? I think we said it before the tournament, didn't we, that they'd be good. In those video previews, I didn't get many bets right, but I put Chile up to top the group, and obviously that could still happen. No Robin van Persie for this one. Did you see the stats on Twitter yesterday, Mark, that this is the first time since a friendly against China in 1996 that there hasn't been a player in the Dutch side with Van in his name?
No, I didn't know that. That's the great stat.
221 games there have been. It's absolutely pointless from a betting point of view. Yeah. I thought it was quite interesting anyway.
Okay.
Obviously they'll miss it. I think Van Persie's been brilliant, hasn't he? He's, you know, he was great in the friendlies though, leading up to this. It's almost like he saved himself all season, and now he's playing for his new boss, club and country, of course. He's looked brilliant, so they will obviously miss him. But I think Robin's been equally as impressive. You know, he's just carried on from where he finished with his club form. Terrorising defences, but you know, obviously, you know, without Van Persie's goals, I think they'll be missed. You know, we've spoken to a Dutch journalist here yesterday in Brasilia, who's actually been following Brazil for his paper back home, and he was saying, like, you know, that performance against Australia left a lot to be desired. As good as they were in the first game, they're probably as bad in the second. They could just rely on the goals from Van Persie, and I wonder without that. You know, Chile are a very, very good side, and obviously Chile will want to win this game. As you were saying, the winner of this gets the second place in Group A. So you're probably looking at either Mexico or Croatia. Well, you'd rather have Mexico or Croatia than Brazil in their home tournament. So I think it'll be all out. You know, both teams will definitely want to go and try and win this one. I'd be siding with Chile, I think. I mean, I know Aranguez has picked up a knee injury. Alexis Sanchez, of course, is going to be a key player for them. And he's looked fantastic as well. I think I'd be siding with Chile, but it's going to be tight. Wouldn't be a big surprise if it's a draw, if they cancel each other out. But I think there's some suspicions about, you know, the kind of... The fragility of the Dutch defence, and if any team's going to exploit it, it'll be Chile. Chile are like Spain improved, aren't they? They pass the ball around like Spain do, or did. they pressurise the way that we've grown accustomed to from Spain, but they also have that killer instinct. They have that attacking spirit that Spain seem to have lacked, even when they were in their pomp. So I'd be siding with Chile. I think Chile in a narrow win in this one, maybe like a 2-1. I can't see them keeping the Dutch down. It could even be something like spectacular, like a 3-2. You know, so the games we've seen in this World Cup have been sensational, haven't they? But I mean, I think 17-10 for Chile just to win the game is good enough for me.
Yep, 17-10 for Chile to win the game. Alexis Sanchez, as you mentioned, has been key for Chile so far. He's subject of the headline offer. Him to score and Chile to win is 4-1. Match result and both teams to score, Chile to win that is 7-2, so that would fit the 2-1 or 3-2 scoreline that Lee mentioned. And if it is 3-2, match result and 4 or more goals in the match, Chile has 7-1 in that market if you fancy a little bit of a speculative one. But I see Chile winning this as well, Lee. And the fact that Sanchez and Vargas have got so much pace and quality going forward up against a Dutch defence that is shaky. I mean, a defence with Ron Vlaar in it at the World Cup must be shaky. So I see Chile winning this. And do you see either of those goal scorers as potential value, Sanchez and Vargas? I mean, they've been impressive so far.
Yeah, they've both been great, haven't they? Just so skillful, aren't they? And they're so direct as well. When they it's almost like when they decide to attack, that they go for the throat, don't they? I think both. I think you could pick either one. I was just looking down the betting there to look at the scorers and corners markets. You know, the anytime goal scorers doubled up. I was just looking for Sanchez and Vargas to score any time. I don't know if we've actually got. Yeah, we have got that. For them both to score any time is 13-2, which maybe is asking a little bit much. But for either Sanchez or Vargas to score the first goal is 23-10, which isn't—that's not a bad bet at all. The other thing is, I mean, let's not discount Arjen Robben. You know, he's got 8 goals in his last 8 international caps and 4 in his last 4 World Cup appearances. You know, in superb form. He's greedy as well, isn't he? So, you know, if you're having a bet on Arjen Robben, you know he's going to give you every possible chance. He's not going to pass it, is he, when he's anywhere near goal? So, you know, Robben and Sanchez to score any time in the match is 5-1. It's not a bad bet, that.
No, it's not. Or you can have Robben or Sanchez to score first at 19-10. So
So that's not a nice bet as well, isn't it?
Yeah, not bad. But in summary, you're expecting a chilly win.
Yeah, I'll go for that. I mean, basically, I wouldn't be surprised at the draw at all. And obviously, that would mean that the Dutch top the group on goal difference. But I went with Chile at the start, and I'm going to stick with it. I've not really seen anything to say. I obviously went for a Chile-Spain straight forecast, but you know, obviously, I've got that well wrong. But I'm going to stick with Chile to top the group because I haven't seen anything. I'm more impressed with them than I expected to be. It was almost like an outside shout. I put Chile up there. I didn't quite know if they'd be able to do it at the big tournament. But, there's a lot of people here saying they're a real live shout to win the thing. You know, the way they're playing, the kind of confidence they've got, the system they've got, the discipline they've got. So I'll stick with Chile and I'll go for a Chile win.
OK, Chile to win that then. And they would then top that group. And that makes the action in Group A at 9 p.m. Quite interesting for the Chilean fans as well, because we'll decide who goes through in that second berth. But we'll start with the top team in the group, Brazil. They take on Cameroon, who are bottom of the group, and Cameroon 20-1 to win the match. The draw 7-1. Brazil 1-7 to win here. We'll start with Robbie's thoughts once again, and then we'll hear Osley.
Cameroon, awful, absolutely awful. Crosses come into the box, diabolical. Again, I think we've said before, Brazil's biggest problem is the centre forward position. I think he'll go with Hulk down the middle. And the two full-backs, Alves and Marcelo, great opportunity for them to provide goals for Hulk, Neymar, whoever.
OK, so Robbie's expecting Brazil to turn it on a little bit here. He thinks they'll win rather handily against Cameroon. And to be fair, Lee, they haven't done so far. They've not impressed many people, Brazil. Do you see tonight as the night they really step it up?
Yes, I do. Robbie was saying there, Robbie's not a fan of Cameroon at all. He's watched them. And they are terrible. I mean, they're absolutely shocking. Ill-disciplined, very poor in terms of their organisation. Even the better players haven't performed. I think they've been the worst team in the World Cup, as Robbie was saying. Brazil are interested, aren't they? They've not really got going. I'm a strong believer, though, that you have to build up through a tournament. You know, Holland have been great. Germany started out great. Holland started out great. Everyone was raving about them. I think you have to. You start slow, you build up, you hit your peak form around the semi-finals, and that's what I think Brazil and, incidentally, Argentina are doing. Obviously, everything you see on TV is about Brazil, and Scolari's been saying that they want goals in this game. I watched a really good documentary about them, Brazil, the Hopes of a Nation, which anyone on iTunes or anywhere like that, you can download it from iTunes. It's fantastic, and it just shows the build-up from when Scolari took over. And the kind of, a bit of a sticky patch they had when he took over, didn't win many games, drew quite a few. And this team that he's developed and this team spirit that he's developed, some of the senior players like Hulk saying that it's the best team spirit he's ever experienced in his footballing career. They're all, genuinely friends. They kind of working for each other. I don't think we've quite seen it yet in this tournament, though. And I think today is the day that they're going to unleash a few goals. I mean, you think about Marcelo and Alves down the flanks, as Robbie was mentioning there. No way Cameroon can cope with that, even given that Cameroon will surely raise their game in front of a massive crowd in Brasilia against the tournament hosts. Surely they can't live with Brazil. Neymar, Hulk, Fred, all the quality they've got on display. I think Brazil are going to win this handily. I really think it could be, you could be looking like a -3. They should beat Cameroon 4-0, 5-0 maybe, and I think they'll go for goals. I think once they get going, they'll punish them. We've seen in a few friendlies building up to the World Cup, they've punished teams, 4-0s and what have you. I think they beat Australia really, I think they beat Australia 5 or 6, I think, in a build-up friendly late last year. So I expect to see the same. The odds are, I'm guessing, I haven't seen Marv, I'm guessing that must be the biggest price of any team in the World Cup so far, 20-1 for Brazil, for Cameroon. I mean, they could be 200 in my book. Although, actually, I'm just thinking about Argentina were 1-9 to beat Iran, weren't they? So maybe Iran were a bigger outsider and they nearly got away with it, didn't they? They nearly got a draw out of it. But surely not. I mean, we've seen some upsets and we've seen some surprise results and some really good performances, but it would be a major shock if Cameroon, even held Brazil for a half. I expect Brazil to score in both halves. I wouldn't even be surprised if you could, -1 first half handicap on Brazil would be worth a look for me. The tactics are that they pressurise a team very early on, Brazil, and then they go for the throw. I think they'll pressurise Cameroon really early on. I expect them to be leading by the half an hour mark. Wouldn't even put them off leading by 15 minutes. But the first half handicap, minus one first half handicap is probably where I'd go, just for a bit of safety, just in case Cameroon finds some organisation from somewhere. I'm just looking down the list now to find that that first half handicap market. I'm not sure if they're out yet, but I'm sure they will be come later on. Usually in the goals, under the goals tab on the website. So I'll scroll down for that. But yeah, that's what I'll be looking at. Just a really comfortable win, and they'll really go for it. I don't think they'll sit back. If they get a goal, they'll destroy them, like Croatia did.
Okay. If you go into other markets, right down at the bottom of the console, and you scroll down, first half handicaps, Brazil minus a goal is 17-10.
That's all right. I mean, I think that's a fair price. I mean, I kind of, in my mind, I wanted 2-1 and knew I wouldn't get it. So I kind of settled for 17-10. But yeah, I just think, you know, Brazil to score first and first goal up to include in the 30th minute.
Yeah.
3-4. I can see that. I can really see that. You know, they'll go for it from the minute one. You know, imagine the crowd here in Brasilia, the capital city, will be obviously, you know, fantastic. The atmosphere will be incredible. So yeah, I think this is where they'll just start to, you know, if you think about it, if we try and sit back and think about the tournament as a whole, you know, the 0-0 draw, not great, you know, but still top of the group though. I think if they think we can win this game, this will give us a bit more confidence going into the round of 16 match, because they might need it, because they're going to be playing Holland or Chile. And then they can start to build up into the quarterfinals. And suddenly you're starting to hit form in the quarters and the semis. You know, when you're here, Mark, there is nothing other than winning the World Cup for Brazil.
Yeah.
Nothing other than it. You know, I won't be here for the World Cup final. And if they lose the World Cup final, or if they lose at any point, it's not going to be a nice place to be, Brazil.
Yeah, it's a bit like Real Madrid's obsession with the Champions League, isn't it? Brazil are obsessed with winning the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. On the handicaps as well for the match, yeah, I know you mentioned the first half handicaps, but Brazil minus a goal is 1-3 if you want to get better odds on them to win the match, because I think they will win it by a couple. But Brazil minus 2 is 10-11, and minus 3 if you fancy them to really take control is 23-10. And you've also got the correct scores as well if you fancy having a play about with some of those. 3-0 Brazil is 6-1, 4-0 Brazil 8-1. And 5-0 Brazil is 16-1, so maybe a bit of value in there somewhere. But best bet, Healy?
I'll go for minus one first half handicap at 17-10. I'm just comparing it to the time of first Brazil goal up to and including the 15th minute is 9-4. Obviously, you know, a bigger price than 17-10. But I think, you know, I think that added bit of security that you just need two goals in the first half without reply for my bet of minus one first half handicap is better, because I think even if it takes them 25 minutes, 30 minutes to score the first one, what we've seen from Cameroon is that they disintegrate quickly. And I think once Brazil get one, they'll then step it up. We've seen that quite a lot in the World Cup, I think, where, you know, a team gets a goal, like at the Algeria game yesterday, a team gets a goal. There's no sitting back, is there? They absolutely go for it once they've got one. So I think Brazil will do the same. And so I'm confident that once they get one in the first half, they'll get another.
Yeah, and we saw in the Croatia game for Cameroon as well, when they go behind and things aren't going the way, they do self-destruct a little bit. They argue with each other, they even headbutt each other and get players sent off. So, fair enough. Moving on to the final game, Lee, in this World Cup podcast, it's the second game in Group A. Well, they played at the same time, but you know what I'm saying. Croatia 9-5, the draw 21-10, Mexico 13-8. A massive game in Group A, because the winner of this will go through with Brazil if it goes to plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, I've been impressed with both of these sides in phases, really. You know, I think Croatia, you know, we know about Croatia, don't we? They're an organised team. They were organised against Cameroon, and as you've just said, they kind of they punished them once they got the chances. They finished the chances and punished them, and never sat back either, did they? They knew that they had to go for the goals, and you know, I think the goal difference, that they've got a plus two, Mexico have got plus one, which, you know, that Cameroon game could do it for Croatia. Wouldn't be surprised to see this as a draw, Mark, at all. I think they cancel each other out a little bit. Mexico obviously did really well against Brazil. I thought the keeper was magnificent. You know, I think on any other given day, Brazil would have won that match maybe 1-2-0. But yeah, the keeper was brilliant. We've got good players, but I just think there'll be a bit of fear in this game. You know, we haven't seen much fear, have we? I don't think they'll necessarily both go for it. I think Croatia know that they can, you know, that they can, if they can try and keep it very tight and nick one near the end, then they'll try that. I don't know if they'll be able to do it against Mexico. I think Mexico will be very, very disciplined. They know a draw will be good enough for them. And I don't think Croatia will go for the jugular earlier on because of the fear of losing. I think as the game wears on, Croatia will just start to open up a little bit. I think in a way, I don't know if anyone remembers the Argentina-Bosnia game, but I think the first half of that one was very cagey. It was all about controlling the game from Bosnia's point of view. I think Croatia will try and do the same. But I think Mexico might just either Mexico nick it or a draw. I'm going to plump for the draw in this one. I just don't think Croatia will be able to open Mexico up. The confidence they will take from keeping Brazil down to nil will surely give them confidence to go and try and do the same sort of thing again and try and keep Croatia down to nil. And the more that Croatia try and push as the game wears on, I think Mexico could actually nick it. But like I say, I'll just side with the draw on this one.
Okay, Lee siding with the draw, then that would send Mexico through to the last 16. Let's hear Robbie's thoughts here, because we haven't heard from him yet. Who does he like for Croatia against Mexico?
I'm going to go with Croatia. I just think that confidence. I thought they were lucky against Brazil. Dubious penalty for Brazil in the opening game. Arguably, Croatia could have got something out of Brazil. Mexico did. Against Cameroon, Croatia were fantastic, albeit against a very laborious Cameroon team in the tournament. And let's be fair, that's true. I just think in the flair players, Mandzukic got his goal. Modric, Rakitic.
He's gone to Barcelona.
To Barca. Yeah, we're led to believe so. You've got to say, in them three players, they could cause problems for any team. And against an ageing Marquez. Mm. But they've done well, the back three. And as Fletch says, the wing backs providing, you know, fantastic, you know, things going forward and recovery. Herrera and Miller Park, I think, has been impressed with Mexico.
Yeah.
And the link between Dos Santos and Peralta has been great. So I think Croatia with them three players would cause Mexico too many problems. I think both teams will score, but I'm just going to go for a Croatia win.
Okay, so Robbie's going for a Croatia win and both teams to score. So he's taking you on a little bit here, Lee. Are you happy enough to stick with the draw? I mean, Croatia were impressive against Cameroon, but how much is that down to Cameroon just self-destructing?
Oh, completely. You know, I mean, I know Mexico only beat them 1-0, but that was the first game that that Robbie did here in Brazil. And, you know, he came back from that game saying, you know, that there was at least one disallowed goal that shouldn't have been disallowed. They could have easily won that 3-0, I think, Mexico. So, you know, I wouldn't be fooled too much by it. No result would surprise me in this game, in this World Cup, to be fair. But I just think that, like I said, the confidence that Mexico have taken from managing to keep Brazil down to a 0-0 draw will have given them the confidence to say, right, we get a draw here and we're through. And as, like I say, I think it'll be cagey. I think it'll be tight. We know Croatia are very disciplined and very well organised. I just think that as the game wears on, then Croatia will obviously have to go and make the game. They have to win this game, Croatia. There's no two ways about it. But they won't go from minute one, in my opinion. They'll just wait until after half time, and then they'll start to open up. The game will become a bit more open, you know, after the 60th minute. And then I think that Mexico could pick them off. Wouldn't be surprised with a 1-1 draw. You know, it's very. You know, we've not seen many 0-0s, have we? To be fair. So, but yeah, I'm just gonna go with a draw. I just think Mexico got this tremendous record of getting out of the groups, then losing in the round of 16. I can just see the same thing happening again. I think we talked about it in the preview videos. They just every World Cup they get out of the group and then lose at the round of 16, and that's what I think will happen here.
Okay. One market I was looking for. It's not on the site at the moment, but we have been having them on the site, is man of the match markets, because on that market you usually have any goalkeeper, and with the game that Ochoa had against Brazil, if he keeps it similarly tight, if they try and keep it similarly tight and he has another worldie like that, I could see him being man of the match. And unfortunately I can't find it on the site at the moment, but that might be something to look at.
Yeah, maybe that'll be on a bit later on. But it's a good shout. I mean, yeah, he doesn't even look like a keeper, does he? he looks like a fullback or something. He's got that mop of kind of curly hair, hasn't he, with his headband on? But he was magnificent. He was great. The save from Neymar's header was brilliant. If he's in that kind of form, you're right. I mean, you know, he probably won't be tested as much as he was against Brazil. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see if Hernandez plays in this one. It could be a key player in this one. I just think it's going to be a tightish game though.
Okay, we've spoke about all four games, and now Lee, what would be your best bet for this evening's World Cup matches?
Brazil -1 first half handicap at 17-10.
Okay, well that would be good for the World Cup anyway. If Brazil go out there and really turn it on, the excitement's already massive, but it would really turn it up a notch, wouldn't it? So hopefully that lands. Yeah. Good stuff, Lee. Thanks for joining me on the podcast. Good to hear from you again, and enjoy the rest of your time in Brazil.
Yeah, cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lee Phelps and Robbie Savage over in Brazil. There are four games to come in the World Cup today. Good luck if you're having a bet. Enjoy the action, and do join us again tomorrow on the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.